We're living in a new age. Technology has completely changed the way we communicate with one another. We have Facebook, Twitter, text messages, email. We even have cell phones that go off. Sorry. Yeah, Sean. Yeah, this is a really bad time. You should know that. A quilt that goes over your head with a hood. Yeah, that's a poncho, Sean. You go ahead, knit away. Okay, we'll talk later. Yeah, Sean is off to Mexico. Just wanted to let me know he's going to knit a quilt for me while he's down there. Do you knit quilts? I don't know. This joke's going south real quick. All these fancy gadgets that help us get connected every day, anywhere, any place, anyway. Yet I believe that we're actually drifting very far from one another. Good morning. My name's Matt. I head up the media here at Promontory Community Church. I love what I do, and Sean's asked me to speak this morning on community. We've been going through a series called Soul Food, digging into disciplines of living a Christ-led life. We've talked about reading, prayer, and giving so far, and today we're going to talk about community. And it's funny that Sean asked me to speak about community, and you'll see why. It's been challenging learning to strengthen our disciplines in our life and to find new ways that we can be a better person in God, new ways that we can push forward as we let Christ lead our life. When I was in Bible college, I took a class called Contemporary Worship Issues. Very exciting. You're all jealous, aren't you? You're like, man, I wish I had that. I heard that. I had to write this paper. It was the main paper for the class, and I started it off with these two sentences. No word of lie. I'll show it to you if you want. Started off with, contemporary worship issues sucks. Now, let me tell you why. Well, of course, you know, it's a very intelligent way to start any paper. Well, I went on to prove my point. I actually earned an A for my effort. I put a lot of hard work. I put a lot of my own reasons into that paper. I put quality references, research, and experiences. So why do I bring that up? Because I want to, you know, show off that I got an A, and I use the word sucks. No, I bring that up because I want you to remember that I put my effort into this morning. I put time, I put research, I put prayer, I put my experiences into what I want to say to you this morning, so that you remember that when I say, when I have what I need to say next. I need to say it. They're all waiting now. Can we make it a little more awkward? Another baby crying, maybe? I don't like you. Not any of you specifically. Not the community, not the group of Promontory Community Church, just people in general. You see, my high school experience wasn't that great. I had a combination of two things. I had people that picked on me a lot. I was cast as an outsider. And my grades stunk in high school. I had to work really hard to get a good grade, if a good grade at all. It was hard. I hated high school. Absolutely hated it. I went on to college and realized that I was still an outsider. I was a commuter going from Langley to Abbotsford and found it really hard to connect. Bible college. Weird. Can't even connect there. I had a bunch of bad experiences in my life that has caused me to put this bubble, this wall around me, to say to the general population of the world, I don't like you, so stay away. I love The Simpsons. Anybody love The Simpsons? I haven't watched it in a while, but one of my favorite episodes I'm going to talk about this morning. I love how The Simpsons nails the crazy and absurd antics of Christians. They just have this ability to be able to do that. They take what seems so ridiculous, but remarkably true, and throw it into their episodes. In this particular episode, Bart Simpson has witnessed Ned Flanders supposedly killing his wife. So in the end, I'm going to ruin it all here for you if you haven't seen it. It ends up that Ned Flanders had actually killed a houseplant. And the screaming, the girl screaming next door that Bart thought he had heard was actually Ned screaming. And so everything gets unraveled. And Maude Flanders, Ned's wife, comes home. And they want to know, where were you? This doesn't make sense. And she said, and I quote, "I was at Bible camp, learning to be more judgmental." Way to go, Maude. This helps prove my next point here, that in Bible college, I met my wife and started attending her church here in Chilliwack, second church I ever attended in my life. And right from the get-go, it was a modern, contemporary-style church. Right from the get-go, they had these groups of people in the church. And for me, I felt like I was an outsider. I felt that if I sat in the wrong seat, if I sat on the wrong pew, that I had ruffled someone's feathers, that I had disturbed their routine somehow. That although the church says, "Welcome, here's a mug, we don't want you to sit there. Sit over here." Come on! It's a seat. The pew is long. There's a lot of room. We may not come across like this intentionally as a church, as Christians, but we do have a history of being cut off, separated, cliquey, or even snobbish, if you want to take it that far. The church has done its part in making it difficult to be a part of community. I want to tell you a little bit about my experience, put into context the reason why I might not like you. When I started coming here to PCC in August of 2006, my wife and I, we were new here. The only people that we knew for just over a year really were people on staff, just a handful of people. And those people on staff, they have to get to know me. It's kind of in their job description, their calling. They're paid to do that. So we found it really hard to connect showing up here at PCC. It's interesting that Sean asked me to speak on community when I found it hard to connect here. Might be reason for this. But I learned something about myself and about community here at PCC that I want to share with you this morning. I call it my three I's. The first I is intentional. I've learned that if I want to be a part of community, I need to be intentional. Now notice that I said I need to. The church doesn't necessarily need to be intentional. I need to make the effort. It's like that high school boy at his high school dance. He sees that girl across the room. He wants to dance with her, but he's got his hands in his pocket. He's hanging out with his buddies. They ask him, "Hey, you want to dance with any?" No. "No, I'm too cool for that." But inside, he really wants to dance with that girl. He wants to walk right across that room and say, "Hey, let's dance." Meanwhile, the girl on the other side of the room is hanging out with all of her friends. And is looking at the boy, and she knows something's going on because girls are a little bit smarter than guys. You can quote me on that. But she's too scared to go over and ask the boy to dance because you just don't do that. It's wrong. So it's like that in church. We show up here on Sunday morning, and we say, "I want to connect. I want to get to know somebody," but we don't do anything about it. You sit there on the edge of the church. By the way, just so this is clear, I am not a front row person. I just don't like sitting in the front row. I feel there's too much attention on me. I'd rather be at the very, very front or the very, very back. I just find it easier myself. But I've learned that I need to be intentional. I can't engage each and every one of you from up here individually. And when I'm at the back and I just stand there, some people think I'm standoffish, that I've got this wall around me. I think I already established that. We need to be intentional. As a church, we've been intentional. Promontory Community Church has been intentional in trying to get people connected using our life groups. Now, you may have heard about life groups so much that you're tired of it, but we're not. We believe that's the best way for you to get connected in a church that's our size. We want you to show up and have people that you can talk to, people that are a part of your lives. We're being intentional by setting up life group leaders that are passionate about getting connected with you, passionate about seeing God work in your life. We're intentional about setting up a number of, like every day of the week, I think we have a life group going on. We want you to be connected, but we need you to be intentional too. Don't be like that high school girl or boy standing there, just waiting for someone to come up to you. It's hard to do. There's a lot of you. Look around. In the Old Testament, there were 10 commandments. Moses wrote them on a stone tablet. Jewish person, everyone knew it. But then Jesus shows up years later, and he takes those 10 commandments and turns them into two. Some of you are like, yes, awesome, only two. I wish it was that easy. Jesus had a tendency of taking things that seemed easy and actually making them more difficult. So he turned it into love God, love your neighbor. Sounds so general, but so difficult. Each and every one of us is called to loving our neighbor. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Someone in the Bible was asking Jesus about those two commandments, and they're being a little cheeky. And if you remember, I've got weird things going on in my head. You're already thinking that because I've openly told you that I don't like you, but I've got strange things, voices. And whenever I read the New Testament, everyone speaks in an English accent. And the disciples particularly have the strongest English accent. It's just a weird thing. I heard a speaker who was from England talking about the disciples, and it's just been stuck in my head ever since. Anyways, this man comes up to Jesus after he asked what the greatest commandments were, and he says, "But who is my neighbor, Jesus?" Jesus continued on with the story of the Good Samaritan. Basically told this guy, everyone is your neighbor. I think that's pretty plain. Initiate. We need to initiate to be a part of community. Initiate is the second I this morning. It's even a little bit of advice for single people out there looking for that special someone in your life. We could call it a pickup line. Hey, how you doing? See, I initiated. Woohoo! See, initiating is after you've been intentional. You found someone to talk to. You found someone to sort of hang out with. But now you need to talk to them. You could talk about the Canucks right now. They're going to go 3-0 today. Yes. I saw one jersey today, so thank you, Steve. Or, see, with the Canucks, some people are getting excited. Other people just roll their eyes. It's a pretty safe topic because you're going to get a reaction either way. You see, I like to get reactions either way. Just tell you guys I don't like you and go from there. Or you could talk about the weather. Hey, it's kind of cloudy outside, really humid. How you doing? Maybe spice it up a little bit when you want to initiate conversation with someone. They might think you're a little strange, starting off with that. Or you could just talk about yourself. It's always easy to talk about yourself. Just don't talk too much about yourself, because then you'll become that person that just talks about themselves all the time. You see, all of this is very difficult. It's very confusing. Did I talk about myself too much? Did I talk about the weather too much? Do people think I'm a psycho, crazy Canucks fan? See, it's very, very, very difficult. And then it gets even more difficult when you're looking at a potential spouse. And you're really awkward then. You guys feel really awkward right now. It's kind of like this relationship we got going on is just hitting the rocks real quick. As I mentioned at the beginning, we're living in an incredible time of communication technology. We're able to text, Facebook chat, instant message, email, Skype, tweet, and more. We are capable of being so connected that we've actually developed this lone state of community. All these wonderful toys and gadgets are actually isolating us from one another. If you know me, you just know how connected to the stuff I am. I blog every day. I'm an avid Twitter fan. If you don't know what Twitter is, just ask me. I keep getting invited to tweet up parties. Cool. You guys are like, geek. I'm okay with that. I am a geek. I love Facebook, Crackbook, Flickr, Google Reader, MSN Messenger, email, my iPhone. The list goes on. And with these new technologies, we've lost the intimacy there is in talking to someone in person. We've lost the connection of looking at their eyes, sitting at a dining room table, sitting in a living room. We've gained communication, but we've lost connection. With all these fancy social media networks and incredible tools that I use, I still use, I will continue to use, that I need to learn to use properly, with all of them, we've developed this community where we have far more acquaintances than we do friends. We often confuse our acquaintances as friends. Let's thank Facebook for this. Facebook, some people have like 587 friends. Do you really have that many friends? Just saying. You see, friends are people that when you have a new baby in your family, they actually want to meet the baby instead of look at pictures on Facebook. You laugh because it's true. Ooh, I just saw so-and-so's baby. It's so cute. Or if you're at home, you're in the privacy. That is not a pretty baby. You laugh because it's true. Newborn babies are not always cute. Big cone head. Friends are the ones that know you're going to do something exciting, that they know that you're nervous, you're scared, that you need encouragement or whatever it is. When I say friends, I mean people that will actually talk to you face to face, that will call you at home, that will know what's going on in your day-to-day life. The third eye is interact. And with talking about Facebook, I think we've lost a lot of real interaction. It's great that we've been intentional and that we've initiated, but unless we interact, it won't go anywhere. Imagine I walk up to you and say, "How about them Canucks?" That conversation ain't going far. You need me to say something back. Like, the Flames suck. Yes, we have a few hockey fans. With interaction, there also comes this aspect of vulnerability and transparency. You see, we all need that. We are not perfect people. I am not perfect. Clarify, I am not perfect. I am a broken human being that has incredible need in my life that cannot be filled unless it's by God. We all are that way. We all come here on Sunday mornings as broken, hurting people that worship a God that's about reconciliation, a God that is about wholeness and forgiveness. I think that's amazing that God would use broken people to build his body, to build his bride. That's amazing. You see, with interaction, there develops this level of accountability. People begin to know who we are. They begin to know what our passions are, but they also begin to know what our faults are. And if we're smart, and if we read Scripture, we'll realize that it's our job to call those people on that. It's not our job to pray for them or to talk behind their back. It's our job as brothers and sisters in Christ to go to that person and talk to them. You see, I've had several people in my life that, whether something good or bad, have gone to me and said, "You know what? You need to deal with this." I wouldn't be in multimedia if I didn't have people coming up to me saying, hey, you have gifts and talents and you need to use them. God gave them to you for a reason. That's a level of accountability. I wouldn't get that if I wasn't connected to people, interacting with them. With the life group that I'm a part of, I've learned a lot about the people that are in our group. Sometimes we don't even talk about Sunday message. Hopefully that'll be the case this week. We've talked for hours. It's awesome. I've learned so much about other people. I've learned a lot about myself. I told them that I was going to share all their secrets this morning, too. Dean would like you all to know. He has an incredible addiction for club soda. Just getting that out there, Dean. You're my brother. By interacting, we should be eating together, living life together, laughing, crying. We did an interview with Lori McNaught not too long ago, talking about the loss of her husband. The video is available online if you want to watch it. And in that video, you hear about how her life group walked along their journey with them. That through incredible loss, that the life group was there for them. Imagine if that life group wasn't there. They wouldn't have people to help with meals, yard work, help with the kids. That community wouldn't have been there. So once you've been intentional, you've initiated, and you've interacted, you need to repeat. Intentional, initiate, interact, repeat. You can't just start with one person and then think that's it. There's a lot of people in our church. Just look around. This is second service. We have two services. This year, because of our Easter services, an incredible group of people that showed up, we're probably going to go to three services for Easter next year. We have to. So if we just meet one person and we do these things, intentional, initiate, interact, we're missing out on a whole wide range of other people. You need to repeat. I have to tell myself this. Repeat. Just because you get burned by someone, just because someone turns their back to you, just because who knows what situation comes up. I've learned I just have to repeat. Just let it go and find other people I can connect with. Not be a jerk about it. Not make a big deal about it. But find someone that I can connect with, someone that I can be in community with, that I can build that level of vulnerability, transparency, accountability. I need that in my life as a hurting, broken person. By the way, before I close, I'd like to mention that what I said earlier about not liking you, you remember that? It's not entirely true. I have a flair for the dramatic. I tend to over-exaggerate things. I like most of you. Today, more than ever, it is necessary for us to create community. We need people around us. Jesus showed the best example. He had 12 guys with him every day, pretty much, for three and a half years. And of those 12, there were three that were even closer. For myself, I have my brother Jason. I have Dean that I have to share an office with, which some days is good, other days is bad. He cranks the heat in there so bad. Oh. But see, I have those two guys really close to me that if I were to go out and do something completely stupid and crazy, I know they would call me on it. I also know that when something exciting happens, that they're there to say, that was awesome, man. Way to go. See, Jesus was onto something with this whole 12 disciples thing. We read in Acts chapter 2, that all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. Notice all the believers. And it continues. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. You read Acts and try and read it with a very open perspective. If you've got a church history, Bible college history like I do, try and just get the junk out of your head and read it just for what it's worth. Because at the beginning, it seems like things are so perfect. Oh, God set up the church and the disciples, and wow, so many people being added every day. They were perfect. Why can't our church be like that? Well, you read Acts chapter 5. Two people lie and get killed for it. That sounds perfect. Go, guys, go. You read Acts chapter 15. The Apostle Paul, who wrote like half the New Testament, has a disagreement with someone. And it says in Scripture they had a sharp disagreement. Who knows what that meant? That sounds perfect, though. The Apostle Paul. Wait. He was a broken, hurting person that needed reconciliation, that needed forgiveness. So do we. We need to come together because God's calling us together. He's calling us to be the church, capital C. So we need to initiate, we need to be intentional, initiate, and interact in here, but out there as well. We're called to build the church, build community. For myself, I've had to push myself to be a part of community here at PCC. It wasn't easy at the beginning. But I had to learn that there was an issue with me. I had a bubble around me, a wall. And I had to just deal with that. Get over it, Matt. People are hurting and broken, just like I am. So other people have walls up. Other people are going to be jerks. And just deal with it. It's a fact of life. The church isn't perfect, but God loves us the way we are. So I've had to break down that wall, take down that bubble. And I've gotten connected in a life group. Best thing that I've done here at PCC. I love the life group that we attend. So I encourage you this morning that as you're leaving, that as you're heading out the door, don't just shuffle out, get in your car, go to lunch. This is second service. We've got a little bit of time for you to hang out. If there's someone that you've been waiting to talk to but you haven't, just go do it. What's stopping you? If I've seemed like I've been standoffish to you, now you know why. Now I've created an incredible level of accountability to you. Oh, the joys of speaking on Sunday morning. But see, for me, I've had to do that. I think there's a reason Sean asked me to speak on community this morning. I need this level of accountability in my life. I need community in my life. I've gone so far as to being a part of the life group, but I want to be connected more. I do like you. I do want to be a part of Promontory Community Church. I want you all to feel like you're a part of Promontory Community Church. The church is doing their part, but what part are you doing? Are you willing to step out and get connected? Are you willing to step out and join our community here? We want you. We're just waiting. We're waiting for you to ask us to dance. So this morning, I just want to pray. We're not going to have a song. But as you leave, I want to encourage you, get connected. Find your community. Fill out that card if you want a life group. We will help you get connected. Let's pray. I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. I pray that the Lord would make his face shine upon you. I pray that the Lord would challenge you to go and speak to the people you need to speak with, that you would build the community that you need to be a part of. I pray that you go in his love this morning, and I pray that you start building community around you. I pray that you leave feeling challenged. I pray that you leave not wondering if you should do something, but that you would just go ahead and do it. Pray the Lord's blessing over all of you. May you go in his peace. Amen.